Hi, my name is Ty Peterson.
And Walter Calouette with Robomo Radio.
First off, I'd like to thank everybody who tuned in to last week's show and provided us with some positive feedback.
On this week's show, we will be interviewing event organizers, mentors, and students about the upcoming robotics event at the Escanaba High School on March 8th and 9th. I'm really excited for this event. I've never been to one of these events before, but I heard you have, Ty. Could you tell us a little bit more about these?
Yeah, so I've been to many FRC competitions before, and whenever I go, they're always really fun, engaging. People are really showing off, you know, their gracious professionalism, helping others out. One thing is that it's always free to go. People are always having a fun time every single time we go, and it's a great way for teams to connect from across Michigan.
Wow, Ty, that sounds awesome. So when exactly is everything happening?
Well, Walter, opening ceremonies are going to be at 10:30 on Friday, and there's going to be a new robot match following that every 5 minutes. Closing ceremonies are going to be held early Saturday evening, followed by an award ceremony. Let's get started on Robomo Radio.
Hi, my name is Elijah Dubord, and in the studio with us today is Marie Young. Can you tell me a little bit about your role in preparing the competition?
I sure can. As an event coordinator, which is one of my roles, I do work to get the gym ready, to get the commons ready and the pits ready. A lot of that would entail ordering bite supplies that we need, whether it's the AV equipment, whether it's the pipe and drape and pit equipment, the food for the volunteers, the pre-ordered lunches for the teams, the hotels for the volunteers. There's a number of things that get put into coordinating an event such as this. We currently have about 100 volunteers that come from a lot of different places in Michigan. They're not strictly from around here. This utilizes a lot of hotels, so we do put people up to accommodate them for their stay and their help as volunteers with our event. They volunteer for things like robot inspection. They volunteer for being judges, volunteer for being queuing to get teams on the field for matches. There's a wide range of different types of volunteer spots that we actually look for every single year. There's a co-volunteer coordinator with me, that's Camry Boniface. And together, we need to get all of those spots filled and then get the appropriate information to each one of them.
Are there any opportunities to volunteer open right now?
We're always looking for volunteers. I think sometimes in a situation like this, when you do have as many volunteers that we have and the event runs so long, it's nice to have people to come in and just take the place so others can get a break. So we wouldn't turn anybody down. There is a process to volunteer, can be reached through my Eskimo email, and I certainly could set anybody up if they were interested in helping out at all.
So you have over 100 volunteers?
That's correct, yes.
That's crazy.
It is crazy, right. And we do have a lot of wonderful, refer to them as sponsors because of the way they work with us and give us great deals to accommodate them in staying at hotels in the area. So Terrace Bay Inn, Comfort Suites, the Island Resort and Casino, you know, they're there for us to help us book those rooms, to help us give us a good rate. Our main sponsor is Highline, and without them, we wouldn't be able to get any of the equipment. We wouldn't be able to set our people up in our hotels. And so it makes it very possible for us to have this great experience.
What email can people use if they want to reach you?
myoung@eskimos.com.
What are some of the biggest challenges for planning a home event?
I would say that it's the cooperation that is required from not just volunteers who are interested in robotics, and so, you know, they feel vested and they want to come out and they want to help, but it also takes our entire staff at school and our student body, because for 3 days, we have the entire west end of the school, the high school, junior high, which would include the gym, the multipurpose room, the auditorium, the commons. These areas are completely taken over by these 40 teams and these 100 volunteers and these 1,000 spectators that show up for this event. So the trick is to make sure that, you know, we don't have any problems on, you know, on scheduling things, you know.
Yeah.
As small as garbage pickup to when our students will go out and get lunch without running into any of the robots and their teams that are transporting them from the field to their pit, back to the field again. So we have to constantly be watching the crossing of our students from where they're going to class to and through the pit areas. So it's, you know, there's more than just getting the volunteers for the event. It's also a community type effort.
Can you tell us the dates and the times of the event?
I sure can. Our teams start to arrive to bring their robots and all of their pit equipment to the high school. They don't arrive until Thursday. And on the evening of Thursday 7th, they are busy trying to get their robot to pass inspection, set up their pit, and maybe even get in a little bit of practice. You will not see anything as a spectator on that day, but on the following day, Friday, opening ceremonies at 10:30. Goes until 11 o'clock. Qualification matches begin at 11 o'clock until 1 o'clock. Break for lunch, 1 to 2. Then we have qualification matches starting up again from 2 o'clock until 7. On Saturday, we start up all over again. 9 o'clock is opening ceremonies and qualification matches start at 9:30. We continue those qualification matches until 12:30 when we have alliance selections. At that point, we do pick the top 8 teams that have been ranked. We'll pick their alliance teams to go into the playoff matches with them. So at 1 o'clock, we take a break. At 2 o'clock, we start our matches up again. Usually, we have award ceremony at 5 o'clock. So this is a 2-day event in which spectators, it's free to come on in and watch these teams, take a look at these robots, and have a nice, enjoy what you see. But that's Friday and Saturday this weekend. Match, it's like about a 5-minute rotation. You get 6 teams out on the field. It's a field that is brought in a trailer. We put it all together on Wednesday night, and on that, when we have that field all set up, we actually can run matches where 3 alliance teams go against another 3 alliance teams, and it's exciting to watch. You never know if a team that you might be there watching, but you'll never know if they're going to actually be against, you know, a team, or if they're going to be now on an alliance with them. So it changes a lot. And this is a sport where teams help each other. And I think that's probably the most valuable thing about it, is that we are constantly helping each other.
How long have you been involved with robotics?
We started robotics as a program at our school back in 2011. So that was the very first time, and not as a volunteer coordinator or as a event coordinator, because at that time there were no events held in the UP. So we always had to, once we did get a robot and we were ready to compete, we always had to travel downstate. We did that for a few years before we hosted our first event here in Escanaba, and the first event here in the UP. So that's been a great opportunity to be able to have an event close enough for all the UP teams to be able to come, and it's a little less expensive for them. It allows for us to have the community see this. So we really, really did want to bring the event here. But when I first started off, it was as a mentor, and it was getting a team together, learning how this whole program worked, and then beginning competition. So for me, I've transitioned from that to event coordinator.
What's your favorite thing about robotics?
I guess I would have to say the family. I feel like the robotics group is a tight family. It's not just a family of students, but this is an experience where these students learn how to work side by side with adults. This helps them with communication skills. It helps them with confidence. The skills that they pick up are just incredibly important. It lines them up for success after high school in a way that I have not seen as a classroom teacher. I have not seen other than with like this program, a program like this, so hands-on and so involved with the community. It just has a really big impact. So I would say the students and the family, the mentors, all that part of it is probably the best part.
What keeps you involved with robotics?
I see its importance. I do see how important it is. So it's why I stay involved in it.
Well, thank you for coming in. This is Elijah Dubord with RoboMo Radio, and we've been interviewing Marie Young.
So again, on Friday, opening ceremonies at 10:30. Goes until 11 o'clock. Qualification matches begin at 11 o'clock until 1 o'clock. Break for lunch, 1 to 2. Then we have qualification matches starting up again from 2 o'clock until 7. On Saturday, we start up all over again. 9 o'clock is opening ceremonies and qualification matches start at 9:30. We continue those qualification matches until 12:30 when we have alliance selections. At that point, we do pick the top 8 teams that have been ranked. We'll pick their alliance teams to go into the playoff matches with them. So at 1 o'clock, we take a break. At 2 o'clock, we start our matches up again. Usually, we have award ceremony at 5 o'clock. So this is a 2-day event in which spectators, it's free to come on in and watch these teams, take a look at these robots, and have a nice, enjoy what you see. But that's Friday and Saturday this weekend.
This is Noah Deer with RoboMo Radio, and here I am in the studio with Angela Chapman, and I'll be asking her a couple questions. So, Angela, how long have you been part of the team?
I've been on the team for 5 years now.
So what made you really click with robotics, and what made you want to like try it out?
When I was younger, the team used to come to my school, and they would do robot demonstrations, and I thought that was the coolest thing. And then as I got older, it just kind of surrounded me in the school setting, and I just thought, you know, I got to do that.
Awesome. So you are a senior this year, correct?
Correct.
And you have been the team captain for this season. Can you just tell me how, like, what that's been like so far?
Being team captain is kind of stressful. People do rely on you a bit more. A lot of the planning and organization and communication does fall on your shoulders. But in the end, I'd rather people feel comfortable to come to me and ask me the hard questions and know that I'm going to do my best to take care of things for them.
So you would say you're pretty good with answering questions and just taking on a lot of the stress?
For the most part, yeah. I mean, you kind of have to be.
So what have you been doing for the team this year? Like, how have you been helping out?
For the most part, I've been working with our impact team and business and media. I think they're doing a really great job, but I do like to check in once in a while with our scouting teams and our build team just to make sure that everything's going smoothly.
All right, so what would you say like your main job on impact is?
I used to be the captain of our impact team, so I do oversee a lot of the presentation and script and making sure that they get the paperwork part done.
And I hear that impact team, there's a lot of essays and a lot of word counts and all that stuff.
Yeah, for sure. There's the 10,000 character essay and like 12,500 character summaries. So much fun.
What is your plan after robotics, basically?
Sleeping. Lots of sleeping.
Me too. And finally, what advice would you give to other teams, other team captains, other members?
I think for any member, or especially the captains, communication is so important. Because if the members of your team are not on the same page, then nothing's going to get done when it needs to be done and how it needs to be done.
All right, Angela, thank you for your time.
Yeah, no problem.
I'm Noah Deer, and this has been Team Member Interview on RoboMo Radio. This is Jack Peterson and Noah Deer with On This Day in Tech History.
On this day in tech history, the parliamentary election in Estonia in 2007 became the first election where voting over the internet was allowed. Out of the total 940,000 voters, 30,000 voted over the internet. To vote, citizens had to submit their ID and enter two passwords before submitting the ballot.
Also on this day in 1992, what many deemed to be the first malware scare took place. The Michelangelo virus, so named because it was released on his birthday, brought computer security into the news. Michelangelo is a boot sector virus that rewrites critical data on a boot disk. Many projected that the virus would affect millions of computers. In the end, only a few thousand were affected, and the creator was never identified, but it introduced the public to viruses and the need for computer security. This has been Jack Peterson and Noah Deer on This Day in Tech History.
Hello, I'm Caroline Fermansky, here with Jamie Peterson, a mentor on the RoboMost team.
Hi, Caroline. Thanks for having me today.
Hi. How long have you been part of our team?
Oh, that is a good question. I think I've been involved with the robotics team now for maybe close to 8 years. I wasn't initially a mentor. Actually, I started by volunteering at one of the home competitions. They asked me to come in and be the master of ceremonies for the event. And I have kind of stuck around ever since and then just got more involved with the team.
That's awesome. Since being MC, how has your role changed over time?
Oh, well, first of all, being the MC or the master of ceremonies at a competition is a lot of fun. That is so much excitement right down in the field. You get to be front row seat to all the action. So that was really, in hindsight, an excellent way to get someone hooked in the program. I don't know if that was planned when Mr. Kluka asked me to do that or if it just happened that way. But ever since that first year, I was asked to come back and kind of take over, at that time, the media side of things with the team. Because the robot team is composed of a large array of smaller sub-teams. There's a safety team, there's a media team, there's design, there's build, there's your drive team. There's all these different areas of robot because FIRST Robotics is so much more than just building the robot. So as I came back to the team and actually became more of a formal mentor and coach, I gravitated right towards the media side of things. You know, how can we help get the word out about robotics? How can the team send the message? How can the team do outreach, communicate a little bit about just how well the team is doing, as well as the robotics competitions altogether? One of the first, I think one of the maybe the first really successful things that we did is we created the Robo Minute, I think it was. And it was a social media video that we did every week that gave just a 60-second update about how the team was doing. We had a good-sized media team, and then we did some spotlights on sponsors. And as the years progressed, I then became more involved with constructing the field elements. I love carpentry. I love working with students. I love working with younger people, introducing them to various tools, how to read a set of plans, how to calculate how much lumber you need. So I just love making sawdust. So these last few years, I have really enjoyed working with members from the team and building field elements. And for those of you listening at home, each year, we have a different type of competition, so our robots have to interact differently with certain elements on the field. Maybe it's something that the robot shoots an item into or hangs from or has to travel through. So we build versions of those field elements out of wood that our own robot can practice with. So that's really been pretty much my primary responsibility these last few years, and I've loved it.
Yeah, it sounds really cool. As you mentioned, you do teach us carpentry and media and all sorts of things. But what are some of the other things that you try and teach us through FIRST?
Ah, wow. That's a great question, Caroline. What are some of the other things that I try or attempt to teach you through FIRST. Responsibility is probably a big one. I'm one to hold students accountable. When I've asked you to complete a task or I've asked you to do something, I want to make sure that you see that through and you complete it. Because in a team environment, other people depend on you. So you have to do what you say you're going to do when you're going to do it. So that's certainly one of the things I like to try to teach, responsibility. We also always try to teach each other with respect. And that connects right to one of the mantras of FIRST, which is gracious professionalism. We want our students to create a safe environment for each other. We also want them to be encouraging and supportive of one another, and not just people on our team, but when we go to other competitions, we want you to be supportive of other people participating in FIRST. Show them graciousness and really show just how professional we can be. And also I do like to try to teach the kids how to have a good time and maybe mess around when it's appropriate. So I like to have a little bit of fun too and be goofy now and then. So
yes, and that is so important to help keep students involved and wanting to come back to the program and really be able to keep learning.
Exactly. And I really personally don't think there is a better way of doing that than by playing Dungeons and Dragons. One of my most recent favorite memories was of last season when we got snowed in up at the Sault Ste. Marie competition and had to spend an extra night in a hotel. And I brought all of my Dungeons and Dragons stuff with me just to be prepared. And I got to run some fun Dungeons and Dragons with, there must have been about 12 probably teammates in the conference room. And, I had such a great time.
Yeah, I was there. It was a lot of fun. I had no idea what I was doing. I never played Dungeons and Dragons, but I still had a fun time.
Wasn't it fun?
Yes.
Yeah, and everybody was laughing and having a good time. Those are the memories that I really cherish. You know, those times off the field, you know, when the team is bonding together. So that was very cool.
Actually, along those lines, do you want to tell us about the family dinners that we've been having this year?
Yes. When I first started mentoring, a very common practice was that every Thursday night was reserved for a family meal for all of the robotics team and their parents, and everybody could come in. And we shared a meal together and just spent a few minutes not building a robot, but just talking, you know, sitting together and eating food and joking around. And, you know, after COVID had happened, you know, we were all trying to scramble to bring a team back together. It was pretty challenging. And there were some things that fell by the wayside. And our family dinners fell by the wayside for a couple of years. So to have those back this year is so awesome. I love Thursday nights, you know, hanging out. And I love everybody pitching in and bringing food and desserts to share and drinks. And I love watching Walter try to eat as many tacos as possibly, you know, a human could eat. It's a lot of fun.
What are some reasons someone would want to be involved in robotics?
Oh my goodness. Okay. Why would someone want to be involved in robotics? I'm thinking you're coming at this. Why would someone mentor in robotics? So I am a father of three amazing boys. And that being said, I have kind of coached just about everything they've been involved in, from T-ball to soccer to whatever, and then some, and now robotics. And I've never seen an extracurricular activity quite like FIRST Robotics in a way where there's so much cooperation to make this happen. I just don't see that in other extracurriculars. And what I say by cooperation is you actually teach your team how to work with, not against, another school or team. Because the people you compete with are also part of your alliances at some point in time. And I think that's where those foundations of gracious professionalism is, where you have to work with others, not against them, to achieve the goal. And it's such a radical idea compared to some of the things that were taught, or even the way I grew up in the competitive nature of sports and such. So it was such a refreshing idea. One of the most stunning things I saw, and I think it was that first year before I even became a mentor, is that one of the teams had a catastrophic event happen with the robot during one of the matches. Like I want to say, you know, their battery came loose, a major part of their robot was broken during the match. And you could tell it was shocking. And it was a smaller team, a smaller UP team this had occurred to. And they removed the robot from the field. They cleaned up all the parts, and then the match continued with the remaining robots. What was impressive to see was that there were no less than 7 other teams that weren't even competing in the match that rushed out of the stands, and they were waiting along the field for that broken robot to come off the field. And as soon as it did, they were asking that team, how can we help? How can we, what do you need? What do you need? We can machine it. Hey, I've got extra aluminum. Do you need a gearbox? You know, is your motor okay? Is that shaft broken or bent? All of these teams could not rush to their aid fast enough. That is not something that happens in other sports.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it was like they were going to take pieces and parts, you know, out of their own robot kits to help this other team finish out, you know, the match, you know, or their next match. I was dumbfounded.
Yeah. And like you said, a lot of high school sports and competitions, they're not a lot about friendliness and helping out. But in the real world, you know, you have to work with your colleagues and other companies to try and create solutions for your customers.
You're 100% right. Yeah, I mean, I could not have said it better myself, Caroline. So that alone, you know, getting to witness that really had an impact on me and the value of the program. And I just wanted to get involved. And I've never regretted a moment of it.
I think it would be hard to. And I think FIRST Robotics is super great about preparing us for a STEM workforce.
Absolutely. I mean, it's so much more than just the robot. You know, when obviously, you know, even recording the show, you're learning what it is to have deadlines, you know, and meet specific time-oriented goals. And, you know, our safety team members are looking at what it takes to be prepared for the what if happens.
Right.
You know, we've got our impact team that's looking at how do we make a positive impact on the community? You know, how do we go beyond the robot? You know, how do we do more? How do we teach our students and our teammates to think on a bigger scale? You know, and how can I make a difference outside of just myself? And so I could rattle on and literally talk about scenarios and things that I've gotten to witness and be a part of, but it's a fantastic program. And there are so many schools out there that need your help. And I can't program. I don't know how to make the robot move, but that doesn't mean that I'm not valuable. You know, there are skills that I have that I can help. It's so much more than that. So, you know, if you're out there and you're hearing the program and you're thinking about, you know, boy, I'd like to get involved, but I just, you know, I don't know how to build a robot. You don't have to know how to build a robot.
No.
You don't have to. Just showing up. I've learned so much being involved. But I've learned also how I can use my own skills and make a difference. You know, just showing up to help. So I would encourage you, reach out to your communities. Heck, come on down to the Escanaba High School this weekend. Check out the competition. I'll be there with a microphone announcing the show. And if you want to get involved, gosh, let me know and we will find a way to get you involved.
Yes, all of us are super grateful to have so many mentors. And any new mentors are always welcome.
Absolutely. Wonderfully said.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Cool. I get to get interviewed on the radio. This is great. You did such a great job.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Caroline.
I'm Caroline Fermansky, and I've been talking with Jamie Peterson, a mentor for the Robomos team. Thank you for listening to Robomos Radio.
Hi, I'm Maddie Hubert with First Facts. First Robotics was founded in 1989 by inventor and entrepreneur Dean Kamen. He drew inspiration from MIT professor Woody Flowers and hosted their first competition in 1992. The size of the competition was small scale and similar to today's Tech Challenge and Vex Robotics competition games. Speaking of size of competitions, there are currently 514 competing teams in Michigan. There are 3,300 high school teams worldwide, with 185 competitions being held this year. Only 600 of these teams have a chance to compete at the World Championships, and hopefully, our Robomos will be one of those lucky 600 teams. This is Maddie Huber, and this has been First Facts.
This week's episode of Robomo Radio and Home Competition was brought to you by Highline Internet. Welcome to Real High Speed Internet. Thank you for tuning in with us this week, and we hope to see you at our competition. You know, as Arthur C. Clarke once said in his 1973 book, Hazards of Prophecy, an arresting inquiry into the limits of the possible failures of nerve and failure of imagination. Anything that is theoretically possible will be achieved in practice, no matter what the technical difficulties are, if it is desired enough. Signing off for tonight, this has been Ty Peterson with Robomo Radio. Good night, Escanaba.